Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Tell a friend and connect.
SOSradio.net.
We're talking about saying yes when life says no. We're talking with Dr. DeForest Besorich today at SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you?
Life's crazy, you know. We always have the plans that we think we should do for our life. We set goals. We set all the objectives. We think, oh, yeah, by the age of this, I want to be here, and I want to have this, and I want God to do this. And you find that God has a little different plans in the way things work out, huh?
Some of that, Scott, has to do with our confusing our wants with our needs. And when we decide what we want and pray to God, because God has promised to provide our needs, if we haven't differentiated between wants and needs, we're waiting for what we want, and God's already given us what we need.
You know, it's like when life just goes the way we expect. We think, oh, everything's good. But when it doesn't, we think it's bad, right? We want to focus on all the things that put remedies to situations and problem solving front and center. And then when the problems go away, we think it's good. But you challenge us to look at the obstacles and the roadblocks as opportunities to grow.
Well, mainly because you can't stop the roadblocks from emerging. I was diagnosed with cancer, and there was nothing I could do after I was diagnosed with cancer to not have it. And so the question was, how can the cancer contribute to my becoming a better man, a better Christian, a better father, a better husband? And of course, that wasn't my immediate response. My immediate response was, I'm about to die. But going to the Word, and the Word of God provides us with a blueprint, a format, and a strategy for responding to whatever happens in life. And I could not see my future beyond cancer, which directed me to a man in John chapter 9. He could not see physically, and I could not see beyond my cancer. And our connection caused him to become a kind of spiritual mentor to me. He taught me what to do when you can't see your future.
So, Dr. Besorich, how is your faith impacted when you were originally diagnosed with that cancer? I mean, you look at this story about really having a relationship with the blind man, and the blind man had a relationship with Jesus.
Well, yeah, my faith was shaken. When the doctor said, your cancer tests are positive, my faith was shaken. I felt intimidated. I felt lonely. I felt a bit of anger. I felt it was unfair. And I went to the scripture to be inspired by the power of God to heal me, when in fact that same scripture gave me inspiration to respond based on the response of the blind man. That blind man couldn't see, but he continued to live his life anyway. He got up in the morning, brushed his hair, put on his clothes, and went outside. And we have a tendency, when bad news comes, I have a tendency to kind of fold in and be isolated and feel as though I don't have options. And that's how I felt when I was told I had cancer. But this blind man really motivated me, because he had been blind all of his life. But he apparently looked at himself and said, well, I may be blind, but I can still walk, I can talk, I can feel. And that's what I think we have to learn to do. We have to learn to look at whatever obstacle we have within the context of all the opportunities and blessings that we have. He was also alone. He had family in the area, but when Jesus saw him, he was alone. And I felt so alone when the doctor diagnosed me with cancer. It was almost as if, Scott, I was the only person on the planet with cancer, even though I was in a cancer institute where obviously other people had cancer. So I began tracking the events of the day from the perspective of this blind man in John chapter 9. And I discovered how to create solitude out of being alone and not allow it to become loneliness. I discovered that through this blind man, I could get the strength and the courage to respond when people may be critical of me. Because, you know, Jesus' disciples, when they saw the blind man, they said, look, this guy's a sinner, or at least his parents. And Jesus said, no, don't condemn the man because of his condition. Let's look at what God can do because of his condition. And if we just walk through the chapter, the more I studied the chapter, I was really looking for healing power and inspiration for healing. And I discovered much more courage from the blind man than I had ever anticipated. You know, the thing that really grabbed me was when Jesus put the mud in the blind man's eye. Here's a guy having a bad day that turned to worse because he didn't know who Jesus was at that point. He didn't know what Jesus was doing. All he knew, he has mud in your eye. And again, that was encouraging, because after being diagnosed with cancer, some things kind of went awry in my life, as they do. I mean, whenever you ask the question, what else could go wrong? the devil has an answer for you. Something else can be done. And the challenge that I accepted because of the mentorship of this blind man, what I learned was that even when things get worse, that God is still God. God is still in control. God has a plan. And as long as we're breathing, as long as we awaken to a new day, there is an opportunity to turn worse into a blessing and to turn an obstacle into an opportunity.
Staying on the path that God has for us, it doesn't really happen naturally. It requires a lot of hard work. It requires focus and requires seeking God. It also requires a lot of involvement in community. And we're talking with Dr. DeForest Bisoris Jr. this morning on SOS Radio. And Dr. Soros is a senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Lincoln Gardens, New Jersey. What have you learned about staying close to Jesus in your own life? We know that there's spiritual crisis, there's physical crisis, and then there's emotional crisis.
Yeah, you know, as a pastor and preacher and evangelist, I've been in ministry now for a long time. And when pastors need to talk, when pastors become lonely, when pastors become a bit doubtful, it is at that point that we demonstrate whether or not we have been busy being pastors or we've been focused on staying close to Jesus. You know, one example, Scott, is this. For a long time in my ministry, what I would do is my personal devotions, my personal Bible study would become my sermon material. And years ago, I discovered that if I'm only studying the scripture to preach to you or to the public, then what am I studying the scriptures for my own benefit, my own sake? And so by the time I was with cancer, I developed this lifestyle of having personal devotions separate from sermon preparation. And I do a lot of preaching. And because of that, I was able to subscribe to my own strategy, go to John chapter 9 for my personal devotions, and allow God to speak to me in ways that were not preparing me to preach sermons. It was years. This was 2010. This book was just written this year. It took me 8 years to take my personal devotional learnings. It took years to have my personal devotional discovery, what I heard from God, to turn into writing that was a benefit for someone else. And that's my advice, especially to Christian leaders. Don't allow the work of ministry to become a substitute for your own relationship with Jesus.
We're talking to DeForest Bisoris Jr. today at SOS Radio. In your new book, Say Yes When Life Says No, we look at all the obstacles that come at us and all those new devils. You talk about that in your book, about how we handle this. Explain what you mean by new devils.
Well, you know, this man in John chapter 9, he taught me this. Here he was, blind and therefore beggar, and he didn't really attract too much attention. Once he could see, once he was blessed by Jesus, once he was the beneficiary of a miracle from God, he was subject to all kinds of criticisms. His family criticized him. His neighbors criticized him. They challenged him, first of all, to be someone other than the man who had been blind. They didn't believe he was really him. And when you have a successful radio ministry that goes into 9 different states, when you have a church that grows from 500 to 8,000, when you start athlete and you give glory to God, what you will find is that there will be new enemies. There will be new critics. There will be new obstacles placed in your way. And so you just have to be ready. You have to be ready for the fact that people may ignore you when they consider you a nobody. But when you receive the blessings of God, be ready. Everyone's not going to celebrate your success. Not everyone's going to be happy. And even people close to you may resent the joy that you are experiencing because of what God is doing in your life. And you have to depend on God, the Holy Spirit, to give you the strength to stand despite those new devils.
Dr. Soros, when we're going through a series of life where it's like obstacle after obstacle and prejudice and hardship and, yeah, money challenges, and it's just like that cycle of just getting by, just keeps grinding on you, and you want to break through, how have you learned to discern when to push a door open or when to just leave it closed and walk away because you feel like God's not opening it?
Well, this blind man was in the presence of Jesus, and look at all of the doors that had been closed. First, he woke up with a closed door. He was blind. Then the people around Jesus, who today could be synonymous with church members, they really didn't embrace him right away. Then he had this mud put in his eye. then he was sent to a pool, the Pool of Siloam, where no one had ever been healed before. All the healing was happening at the Pool of Bethesda, yet he went anyway. It's really the test of our faith. We have to believe that God directs us. We have to believe that all things do really work together for good to them that love God. It flows from our belief systems, God. If I get on a plane and I believe the pilot is qualified to fly, I won't check his credentials. I'll just sit down and fasten my seatbelt. And that's faith. And so it's an appropriation of faith. It's extending the faith that we practice every day into the realm of life that is fearful, intimidating, and the most unknown. What I have done, I write them down, I scoop them out, but I'm not a slave to my plans. After I make my plans, I give them to God, and I'm willing to let God change my plans and follow the course that God has opened. And so you asked about opening doors. I try not to open any door. I wait for God to open the door. I try not to close any door. I wait for God to close the door. And what I've discovered in my career, in my personal life, in my ministry, God will open doors. And until such time that God opens a different door, you've got to be effective and faithful and humble and be serving in the place that God has you.
You know, it's interesting, Dr. Soares, as I think about the story of the blind man. Before we started talking a few minutes back, I was thinking more about the stories related to healing. And now I'm thinking more it's about the response.
God, I promise you, this blind man taught me more about myself than anyone that I physically worked with, met with, or studied under. And it was, again, God opening the door. Remember, I had cancer. And I wanted to meditate for this season of my life on passages of scripture that would remind me that Jesus has healing power. And it did. But look at all of the things this man who had all of the reasons in the world to give up, all of the reasons in the world to just stay home, lock his doors, close his windows. But at the end of the day, the man who started out blind ended up seeing, and that wasn't in his plans. He didn't wake up planning to see Jesus. He didn't do like the woman with the issue of blood and crawl through the streets to touch his garment. He wasn't carried there by four friends and lowered from the roof to touch Jesus. He was doing what he normally did, but he had an encounter with Jesus, and he stuck with Jesus long enough to receive what Jesus had for him. And that has changed my life, because when I looked at it from the perspective of barriers and obstacles and rejection, and just I summarize it with the word no, what I realize is everyone I admire, everyone who's had any kind of success, has had to turn a no into a yes, has had to resist giving up, has had to experience rejection or loss or failure. And that's what got me through my cancer. By the way, I am today cancer-free, thank God. I had medical treatment. I had faith in God. I had, I believe, a touch from Jesus, but I also have the lessons of this blind man, because, listen, I write in the book, and you know this yourself, the ultimate no in our physical lives is death. But the ultimate yes is accepting the Christ who gives us life after death, which means that there is literally no no, if I can say it on the radio, there is no rejection. There is no denial. There is no failure that ultimately has the power to win, because death, as the ultimate no, was crucified on the cross. And when the world thought they got Jesus, they really killed death.
Well, thanks for spending some time with us today. We're talking with DeForest B. Soares Jr. today. He has a brand new book. It's called Say Yes When Life Says No. I think this is going to help a lot of people who are listening right now.
God. I'll tell you a secret, too, by the way. My friends call me Buster.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.